Septimus soon found himself squashed between the two ghosts at a long table at the far end of the tavern. This was not what he had expected when he had gone to bed that evening, but after 18 months as apprentice to Marcia, Septimus had learned not to expect anything, except the unexpected. Although Septimus knew he was not really squashed at all, he still felt squashed as he sat between Altha and Queen Etheldreda and tried not to touch either of them. But he could not shake the feeling that Queen Etheldreda's pointy elbows really were sticking into him. Septimus wriggled farther away from Etheldreda, for it was the height of rudeness to pass through a ghost, and he suspected that the Queen would have something to say about it. In fact, so far, Queen Etheldreda had had something to say about pretty much everything. She sat tall and erect, and her dark violet eyes fixed Septimus with a stern gaze, as she gave him the benefit of her opinion.
"It's full of riffraff here, apprentice. Absolutely full. Look at that awful old tramp snoring under the table. Terrible place, terrible place. I shall most certainly have to do something about this. And the behaviour of those young queens over there, most unbecoming."
A loud squeal of giggles had erupted from a table of 4 young queens, all of whom had died in childbirth. Queen Etheldreda pursed her lips disapprovingly.
"I don't know what Arthur Mellor is thinking of bringing you here. In my day, the extraordinary apprentice was not allowed out without a chaperone wizard, and then it was only to come to the palace on official business. And a boy your age should be in bed, not carousing in a den of iniquity like this."
Septimus was not bothered by Queen Etheldreda, for she reminded him a little of Marcia. But Altha looked irritated.
"Your Majesty," Altha said huffily, "perhaps you might remember that it was on your express wish, a command was the word you used, that I woke up this young apprentice and brought him here. You had, you said, something of great importance to relate to him, a matter of life or death, although you refused to tell me what it might be. You yourself insisted on him coming to this tavern. I assure you, Madame Marcia Overstrand does not normally allow her apprentice to frequent taverns at night, or indeed at any time of the day." Septimus held his breath. What was the Queen going to say? Queen Etheldreda said nothing for some time, and then she leaned over to Septimus, and he felt an ice-cold breath across his cheek as she whispered in his ear,
"Marcellus Pye at Snake Slipway, midnight. Be there."
With that, the Queen got up from the tavern bench as if rising from her throne. She swished her train into place behind her, walked, head held disdainfully high, into the fireplace, and disappeared.
"Well," spluttered Altha, "of all the nerve! Marcellus Pye?"
Septimus muttered, feeling a thrill of excitement. 2 nuns had sat down beside him in Queen Etheldreda's place. One of the nuns looked askance at Septimus.
"Do not speak that name lightly, child," she whispered.
Septimus said no more, but his thoughts were buzzing.
Why would the ghost of Marcellus Pye want to meet him, just a lowly apprentice? After all, the ghost had never been seen before. Maybe,
Septimus shivered at the thought,
maybe the ghost had been watching him read the notes that afternoon and had now decided to appear to him. But why choose Snake Slipway? And why at midnight?
Altha noticed Septimus's preoccupied expression.
"What did she say?" he whispered.
Septimus shook his head, not wanting to upset the nuns again. Suddenly Altha felt weary.
"Come on then, Septimus, let's go," he sighed.
He got up and Septimus followed him, carefully squeezing past the nuns. Altha felt unsettled at the sudden disappearance of Queen Etheldreda. She had not been seen around the palace before, and while it was not unusual for ghosts to appear and disappear, especially the older ones, who often fell asleep in a comfortable chair and did not wake for many years,